We're in 2 Peter 2 and verse 8. What we do is we read Greek together, and then I'll kind of go back over to read it a little bit more, and then we're going to translate it into English. Lemati, Gar, Kai, Akue, Ho, Dikaios, Ekot, Toi, Kolon, En, Altos, Hemeron, Es, Hemeros, Sukane, Dikaion, Anamois, Ergois, Ebason, Nizane. All right. We've studied last week. We talked about in the Old Testament. Actually, Peter in 2 Peter, the second chapter, is almost preaching again the gospel that Jude preached and what Enoch preached in the Old Testament time. He is. If you go back and you read the book of Enoch and you read the second chapter of 2 Peter, you'll find out a tremendous amount of similarities. He's quoting from the same book that Jude was quoting from, is what's going on. And, of course, that book was the book of Enoch. Lemate. All right, here we have someone turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 4 also. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. All right, brother. Go ahead.
By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it, he being dead still speaks.
All right. Talking about seeing. Seeing. Abraham, for it was a long time before he saw his seed. The seed that God promised him. Matter of fact, he didn't even believe God for a long time, did he? Instead of waiting for Sarah to get pregnant, Sarah says, "Hey, I'll give you Hagar, and you take her for your wife, and that child will be mine." God told him that he was going to have a son through Sarah, not Hagar. So he got in trouble, and we're still in trouble over that today. You know that? That's the problem we're having in the Middle East today, was because of that. What Abraham did back then. But Abraham was also the father of the faithful. Now this word in seeing there, that's why I wanted to bring that one out. Lemati gar kai akue ho dikaios ek katoi kon en altois emaron ek emaros sukain dikaion anamois ergois ebason lizan. Seeing, or by sight, or by sight and by hearing, or by sound, the one righteous dwelling among them. Now, who's he talking about here? As we interpret the Bible, yeah, who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? Who's speaking here? Peter's speaking, of course. Who's he speaking about? Lot. Okay, Lot. Lot had a lot of problems in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we started off the second chapter of the book of 2 Peter. And he came with the angels sinning and rebelling against God, and God judged the angels and created hell to put them in them. What was the next judgment that 2 Peter talks about? The great flood, the universal flood over the earth in the days of Noah. God judged again. And what he's saying here in 2 Peter is that God says something, he means it. When he sets down rules, he means it. Okay? Now, the angels were supposed to follow and obey God and worship and to glorify God. And the angels that rebelled had all the facilities to do that, didn't they? Well, Lucifer, that was his name before he rebelled. After he rebelled, he was called what?
Well,
Satan. What? Yeah, Satan. It means one who opposes. That's what his name means. Alright? He's called many things. I gave you actually in your books there, that's printed, that's 1st and 2nd Peter there, if you flip back a couple of pages, you'll find out the names for hell and Satan and all that. in there, and you'll see all of that. There's no sense in going back over it again. I'll just be preaching the same sermon again. All right? It said, for seeing and hearing. All right? He saw and he heard, and it says there, this righteous one, Dikaios. What was righteous about Lot?
He was just saved.
He was saved. Boy, he was saved, yet so as by fire. He came out saved, smelling the smoke, didn't he? Boy, God snatched him out of the flames. All right. Now we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was judged. And why was it judged? What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? What was it? Homosexuality. All right. God says that he didn't like it. He didn't like it. And God hasn't changed his mind today. Because what does homosexuality do? It says, God, you are wrong. What you created is wrong. I'm going to change it. I'm going to fix it. I got a better way. And it's not a better way. It's making God a liar. It is perversion. It is rebellion against God. That's what it is. Well, God gives us once and for all, he gave us an example that God hates that sin. Okay? Now, he's telling what he did with Lot. Why was Lot there in the midst of it? Because he was an earthling. What, any of you know what an earthling is? Huh? That's a man that lives for the flesh only. He does not have any spiritual... Boy, I tell you what, God saved that man, but man, what a character. We have, down through the ages, we have people that descended from this man that, boy, they're the thorns in the flesh of Israel today and in the past. Herod, you know, was a kind of a mongrel of Esau's blood, which was not the promised son. Jacob was the promised son, not Esau. And Ishmael and also Lot's descendants. Boy, we have a mixed up mess there of all of the rebellious ones. Look at that, all the rebellious ones. Well, Lot was saved, but he sure never wanted to walk in God's way. And what did it cost Lot? What did it cost him?
Cost
him everything. I want to ask you something. When you leave this world, how much do you leave behind?
Everything.
You know, as far as I know, Lot's going to be there naked before the Lord. I don't see anything that the man ever did for the Lord saved. Ashamed. Why did God put Lot in the Bible?
Grace.
Examples. Don't do that, fellas. Don't do that, ladies. He had a wife, an earthling for a wife, that too, didn't he? She turned into a bunch of Leslie Salts. Or Mortons or something. Or the Dead Sea Salt. This righteous one dwelling, ek kata oikon. Look at that word, ek kata oikon. It comes from in, it comes from kata, and oikon. Brother Ken, what in the world does that mean? This word dwelling. Now they sing in a massing present participle and active. That's a participle. En, kata, and oikos. Oikos. You know what oikos is?
I don't know. It wouldn't tell me. But give me a hint.
Oikonomia. What does that mean?
Oh, authority?
Well, kind of.
Power?
House law.
House law?
Uh-huh. It means house. Dwelling place. Okay. Oikos. And then we have the Greek preposition on the front of it. It changed it here for euphony to a gamma, but it's actually a nu or an en. And our English word, our preposition in, is from that. In, kata. What does a catastrophe mean? Catastrophe. Kata means what? Down. Down. In, down, homie. What was he doing? He was wallering. He'd go, I'll come out to the farm and I'll show you my pig, and she wallers and muck. She just does like a pig, you know. She gets out there and wallers and muck. She likes to waller and muck. Well, what was Lot doing in Sodom and Gomorrah? Wallering. He was acting like a hog and a dog, not a sheep. We're not supposed to act like hogs and dogs, but we're supposed to act like sheep. Sheep is what God calls us, not hogs and dogs. That righteous one dwelling among them, day out of day, day by day, day in, day out. He said, and it says, his righteous soul. Look at that, sukkane. Here we have the word for soul, sukkane. What was righteous about him?
Spirit.
All right. The spirit that is in his soul that was born again from God. That's what was righteous about him. He down deep inside, the man was saved. But boy, was he going the wrong way. Sometimes we can go the wrong way when we're saved, can't we? We can do that. We can just go the wrong way. Earthquakes happen, train wrecks, atomic bombs, buildings fall down around our ears, and we wonder, is God talking to me? Yes, he is trying to talk to you. Trying to. Well, that's what's happening with Lot. Just think about it just a little bit. Train wrecks. Houses falling down around. Mountains falling down. Fire from heaven. Remember what happened back in that great controversy of the ages when Elijah was up on Mount Carmel? He had a contest between the prophets of Baal and God's prophet. What happened? How did it end?
Fire
comes down out of heaven and killing all of them. You think God hates false religion? God hated it back then at Mount Carmel. He hates it today too. And many false religions today displace Christ himself, the Jehovah of the Bible, and replacing as an angel or a spirit or a good example or just a man. That's God the Son, God Jehovah, becoming flesh and dwelling among us. John 1:1, John 1:14, John 1:18. Those verses that John gave us. Hebraism. In the beginning, kept on being the Word, the Logos. Many people get mixed up and they say that word Logos, that means the original idea, and the Jehovah Witnesses try to say, well, see there, that's the first of creation. Well, Christ was the first creation of Elohim God. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus back there says, NRK kept on being the Jehovah. That's a Hebraism. It's not a Greek idea. Logos is a Greek idea. But in the Old Testament, the word for God, Elohim or Jehovah, actually, Jehovah, they wouldn't write it and they wouldn't speak it. It was a very special word. And so they referred to that as the Word or as the Lord or Adonai, but they would not write it out. If they wrote it, they wrote it with a very special pen. So when John came along and he wrote John 1:1, John 1:14, John 1:18, he was bringing forth the Hebrew idea of the Jehovah in beginning. And that's the oldest verse known in the Bible, too, by the way, John 1:1. It goes back further in time than anything. The book of Hebrews, or the book of Genesis, means it goes back in beginnings. Created God the heavens and the earth. Beginnings, plural. One of the beginnings. And one of those beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. But we have here, in John 1:1, we have in the absolute beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. All right? That's how that verse goes way back. Before anything was created at all. That little word, in beginning, kept on being. Third person singular and perfect indicative active. That word aim there, it comes from aiming. And it's continuous action in perfect tense, indicative mode, active voice. Margaret, they like your cookies. And then it says, day after day, day by day, day in, day out, righteous, this man's righteous soul was vexed. This word, ebasonize. All right? That means to rub. Have you ever given anybody the rub? You know what that means? Get them by the noggin and give them that. That's what it means. It means to torment. It means to wear away. It means to wear out, to wear down.
Did you say Ibar?
What?
Did you say Ibar?
No, it says Ibasanize. It comes from Basamizo. Basamizo. Okay? And this is third person singular, and it's in the imperfect tense. Look at that. Imperfect, indicative, and active. Imperfect tense. He kept on being vexed. Why did he keep on being vexed by this? Keep on being rubbed. His nose was just beat off his face. How many of you ever watched the Rocky movies? They're kind of irrational, but they get up there and just beat each other to death. Whoever he's fighting with, they were going to beat each other. That's the word here. What it means. To wear out, to wear down. To beat into submission. Alright? He said, these lawless people, this unknowing voice, he is vexed with these outlaws. Now just think about it for a minute. These outlaws. It comes from anomos. It comes from all alpha and nomos. Alpha means what on the word in front of a Greek word?
Reason, prefix of negation.
All right, it's a prefix, and it means a negation. It means a negative. It's a negative. We have the word agnostic. What does agnostic mean?
No.
The word gnostic comes from the word to know. It comes from the Greek word gnosko. All right, when you have an agnostic on the front of it, what does it mean? To not know. Now, an agnostic not only says that he doesn't know that there is a God, not only does he say he doesn't know that there is a God, and nobody can know that there is a God, nobody can prove that there is a God, and what he says is no God. Okay? No God. Now, what do you think about this anomos? Anomos. What was the occupation of Lot? What can you do for a living, as far as we know? What? He's a lawyer. A lawyer and a high-class lawyer is a judge. You know, big job. That's what he was. He's a lawyer. He's a judge. Now, what is this word here?
Onomos. Onomos come from this?
Nomos comes from this. What is nomos? That's law. Now, what were these people? Lawless, without any law. So what's what is a lawyer got to do in a place that's run by a bunch of outlaws? How many of you ever watched them old Gene Autry movies and Randolph Scott movies when they went into a town where the judge was the number one criminal? And the lawyers there were the number two criminals of the town. And they had the town sewed up. And they'd go in and clean up Dodge. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Lot didn't go and clean up Sodom and Gomorrah, did he? Because he was one of it. He was one with it. He was a lawyer, but he was living among outlaws. And we went back last week and we studied about it. And it says there are lawless deeds. Look at that word, ergois. We got a lot of English words that come from this word. They come from the word work. This word ergois here, it comes from ergos, and it means the product of employment. Now, how did these lawless people keep busy? By doing deeds and works of outlawry. Now, what was the greatest sin that they committed in Sodom? Again, homosexuality. It was lawlessness. Because they went against the law of God. Okay? Now the angels were outlaws, weren't they? The ones that stood against God. And how about those and people of Noah's day? The people in Noah's day. God was giving forth his edicts and his laws, and what were they? Outlaws. They end up on the outside of the boat. End up water. Drowning. Dying. Being judged. All right. He kept on being rubbed the wrong way and tormented, and this is the word to... How many of you ever heard the word... How many of you ever watched an old cowboy movie, and when somebody handed somebody a coin, what did they do with it? Many times. They bit it. That's the word right here. They kept on checking him out, testing him, biting him on the ear, so to speak, the wrong way, rubbing him the wrong way. Okay, 2 and verse 9. Oide. Kyrios. Yosaves. Heck. Perosmu. Euriste. Adikus. Day. Ace. Camera. Christios. Colosominos. And then Terrain. The Lord knows how to deliver his servants out of the mire. Did you know that? That's what I wrote up here at the top of this thing. The Lord knows how to deliver his servants out of the wrong place. Did you ever go someplace as a child of God, and then when you walked in there, you realized that this is really not where I'm supposed to be? You can either walk yourself out of there, or the Lord can take you out, one or the other. You might go out foot first, or you might go out horizontally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. God will take care of it. If you don't take care of it, he will. Lot did not take care of the situation, did he? Who took care of Sodom and Gomorrah? God took care of it. God judged it. He was there, and he was a lawyer. He was supposed to say, hey, people, you're doing wrong here. You know, there's some problems here in this town. He just added, he fueled the fire. Why, when the angels came to his house, instead of saying, you people are wrong, what did he tell them? You have my daughter. Oh. Then it says the word oidein. Now that's third person singular. We study grammar in this class also. The only way to learn the English language is to learn another language. Did you know that? The only way to learn English is to learn another language. Because you'll really never know one language until you compare it with other languages. Person and verbs. How many persons and verbs are there? Just think about
that. Three persons?
Yeah. I want you to think about this. We've got a trinity, don't we? A triune God. He's not three of them, but he's triune, okay? Mm-hmm. But he's shown to us in three different facets as we look at him. And how, in the verb form, we got singular, and we got plural, and then, of course, we got an infinity down here. But first person is what? I. Second person. You. All right. And third person. He. She. Or an it. Yeah. You know one of these things, according to what? See, the Greek language is totally inflected by masculine, feminine, or neuter. Everything tells you who's talking. See? Remember I told you about who's talking, who you're talking about? Well, in Greek, it tells you exactly who's doing. Singular, and then we've got plural over here. Plural of I is what? We. Taking you back to the sixth or seventh grade, I guess. All right, second person plural. You all. Those old Okies weren't so bad after all, were they?
No.
You all are you. All right. Now, third person plural.
They.
All right. They did. All right. And then the infinity is to do something. All right. Poyo, poye. Poyen, poyoman, poyeti, poyusi, poyen. That's how you say I did something. all right, in Greek. And you would decline it. Oase, omine, d-u-c-n. Present and dative active. All right? Oase. All right? O. But omega. Oase, omine, eddie, u-c-n. All right? That's the ending on the verb. Now, this one here is different. Okay? Let's look. Go back and look at this as we study it just a little bit. The Lord. All right. Now we've got a. We can put the in there because it's understood as the Lord. We're talking about the Lord of heaven. The Lord. And what does the Lord do? All right. He knows. This word is oida. It comes from oida, but here is oide. Now this is third person singular. So how would you say? The Lord. He. He what? He knows. This word oido means to be able to see completely with from every dimension a problem. Mm. All right? To see in every dimension a problem, to look around it. To completely be able to walk around a problem and see it. Now, how many of you ever looked at a building? How many sides does a building have? Huh? Six. Thank you, brother. It has six sides. All right. We got to really look at it the right way now. A building has six sides. It's got the top, and it's got the bottom, and it's got north, south, east, and west, or whatever, in between. Okay? Now, the only way that you can see five of those dimensions is how?
From the air.
From the air. All right. God can look at all six of them at once. Did you know that? So he can look from the bottom to the top at the same time. At all four directions. Because he's God. All right. Only God can do that. Third person singular, and then it says perfect. Perfect tense. What does that mean? He has known. Here we have a Hebraism. Alright? He has known. Or he completely knows. In English, we really, it's hard for us to translate it in English. But this means that he completely understands and he knows. The Bible. When you go back and look at prophecy, how many of you have ever heard of the prophecy against Tyre and the king of Tyre and all of that in the Old Testament Ezekiel? All right, God prophesied against the city of Tyre. He said, "I'm going to first of all, Tyre, I'm going to use you to chastise my people. But then after you chastise my people, then I'm going to slap you around a little bit because you did it." You did it too well. All right? I had go out there and whoop your little brother. Bring him in here and beat up on him a little bit. You come here, I'm going to whoop on you a little bit now. You did it too well. You enjoyed what you were doing. God whipped them. So they laughed at God and laughed at God's people. Well, he said, "I'm going to bring one king against you," and he's going to level the place. Well, who was that? Old Nebuchadnezzar went against him. And he leveled that place. He leveled Tyre and Sidon. He was right on the seacoast. Okay? Tyre and Sidon. Well, they got smart. And so here comes another great warrior, Alexander the Great. Now, everything that he prophesied, now God prophesied all of this about Tyre and Sidon for hundreds of years before it happened. These nations hadn't even risen yet, hardly. All right. Now, here is Tyre on the seacoast here. Tyre, this big city right here on the seacoast, so this Nebuchadnezzar came against it, and they leveled the place. And you know what they said to these residents of Tyre? They said, "This is never going to happen again." So what did they do? It was a what? They have a little island out here. So they had a false front here and out on the island out here. There was kind of a, like, what do you call this thing? A moat around it, so to speak. And they said, well, we're going to build our city back out here, but we're going to build the main part of our city over here, and we're going to have wells and everything else, and nobody can besiege us and bother us. We're going to be safe from then on. Because they won't be able to bring enough sea forces in to ever do us any harm. Also, Alexander the Great came here, and God said some really weird things about this city. He said, I'm going to level you again from another king. He's going to bring another king in, he's going to level you. And that king is going to completely break up all of the stones in the city, and he's going to throw them in the ocean. Not only is he going to do that, but he's going to scrape up all the dust in the city and throw it in the ocean. And this place is going to be nothing but a spreading of the net. It'll be gone. And this was like New York City. This was a metropolis. Well, the first prophecy had been fulfilled. It got leveled out. And then here comes Alexander the Great. Now, Alexander the Great was a tough guy. My little daughter, she studied a lot about Alexander the Great. She'd tell you his horse's name, the city was named after his horse, and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I can't remember all that stuff. She can remember. She still has a brain. Anyway, Alexander the Great here, he came up and he said, let me come in here. I'm going to worship with you. We're going to go to church together, fellas. We're going to have a revival meeting today. And they said, no. We don't trust you, fella. And he got mad. He said, well, I want to besiege this city. I said, go ahead. So he besieged the city and he started beating the walls down and everything else. When he got into this city right here, everybody was gone. And they were standing out there going, blah, 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 blah. Out there across the waters at him. He got real mad. He tore this city completely down. And he had war machines, what they call war machines, siege machines. And he tore all of the city down, all the rocks out here, and he threw in the ocean. And then he built up a crossway from here to there. Now, God said he was going to do it before. He didn't exactly say what he was going to do, but he said he was going to do it. That he was going to take even the dust of the ground and throw it into the ocean. He did it, and he went out there and completely leveled that place, and that place is no more. It's still leveled. A place of spreading the net. Fulfilled prophecy. So God knows. It says, God, he has known, the Lord. And then it says, Eusebius. Eusebius. The name Eusebius, there was a historian by the name of Eusebius. Remember him?
Eusebius?
Eusebius. That's where that name comes from. It means to handle yourself carefully before God. He said, it's an old anaphorous word, an old adjective. And by the way, it's only used here and in Acts 10, 2, and 7, which Peter uses in both of those places. This is a word that Peter uses. All right? Careful. Careful men. He knows how to the Lord knows how careful men out of parosmu. Look at that. Parosmu. What does that word parosmu mean?
Very fire.
It means to test the fire. He said he knows how to rescue. By the way, look at that verb down there. That's present infinitive and what? Middle voice. All right. The Lord, his servants, his careful men, he knows how to rescue them out of their trials. Now, you know something? You may be going through trials that you don't know anything about because you just like wallowing in. But your spirit is unhappy. Because you're saved, and you're putting your saved spirit and your saved soul someplace where it doesn't need to be. And God knows how to get you out of there. If he has to break your arm, your leg, your neck, or your back, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever it takes to get you where he wants you, he'll do it. You know why? Because he loves you.
tree. He loves it. He loves his children. And you know why he thanks his children? Well, he loves them. Because there's some place they're in danger. You know, we've been going over to Aloe Beach for a long, long time. I remember years ago, I went over there with my sons and took them out in the out in the ocean for about a week. We had a 14.5-foot boat. And Brother Levine, he was my church member when I did that. I'd do anything back then with a brother. Didn't have a lick of sense. I went for angels fair to tread. We went out there 15, 20 miles out in the ocean, that little 14.5-foot boat out there fishing around all over, putting around. There were sharks out there jumping around out there bigger than my boat was, going through the wakes. Saw big blues and I saw great whites. Did you know there's great whites out here? There's great whites out there. The week before we got over there, they caught an 800-pound great white shark off of one of the piers. They hooked it up in some nets. And they caught an 800-pound great white. Well, there's taxi service over there. You can go over there and rent a buoy. And you can tie your boat out to the buoy, but you got to have somebody, you know, to bring you in from the buoy to your to the shore, which sometimes is a half a mile or three-quarters of a mile or even a mile out there, according to where the buoy is. Well, I rented the buoy about a quarter of a mile from the shore and a quarter of a mile from the boat launch. You can't go in there every day and launch your boat. You leave it out there, and then when you get through, they take it out and they lift it out with a lift. But they don't have a way to take a trailer down and take it off the boat in there. And the last day that we were out there, we were going to stay one more day, but that last evening that we were out there, the guy said, I can't come out. I'm going to quit my service at 4 o'clock. Well, we didn't want to quit. It was the longest days, and we wanted to stay out till about 8 o'clock at night, so we didn't want to go in at 4 o'clock and be taxied in. He said, what you need to do is go over there at Avila and buy, or rent, that is, a little blow-up boat with an oar and tie it out there to the buoy, and then when you get ready to come in, just take your family over there, and then you get in the boat and paddle yourself back to shore. So I went over there and I rented one of those boats, and I think it cost me $75 deposit, and I got this oar in this boat. Well, I blew the boat up and I put it out there. It was out there all day long. We caught a lot of fish that day. We got the fish. And so I took my family and let them off at the shore, and then I went back out there and tied my boat up. And I got in the little inflatable boat and I started paddling back. Well, I told the guys before I did this, I said, I can swim that far easily. I can really swim. He said, you'll never make it. He said, this place is infested by sharks. They'll eat you up before you ever get splashing around for a quarter of a mile. He said, you're in trouble. He said, you might be able to do it, but he said, and people swim around out there, but he said, people get ate out here in this place. So he said, now you can try to swim in if you want to. You can go over there and get that boat. So guess what I did? I tried to go the safe way. I rented a boat. Well, after I got about 50 or 75 feet or 100 feet away from the boat, my regular boat, the inflatable boat, started sinking. How many of you ever seen Jack LaLanne when he was younger? He used to go up there and he'd swim across the bay up there in San Francisco or something, pulling a boat. Well, I did like Jack LaLanne. I didn't want to lose the boat. And my $75, because that was a lot of money, and the oar and all that stuff, so I threw the oar in the boat, and it was just barely floating. And I weighed 240 pounds. I was little. Back then, I had meat on my bones. So I started swimming in to shore, pulling the boat. And I did get in there. I mean, it's proof in the pudding. I have no shark prints on me at all. But this week, at Aloe Beach, a great white shark bit a girl and killed her. And without swimming right in the exact place where I had to swim from there to the dock. In exactly the same place where I had to swim, she was killed by a great white.
Yeah.
Well, she did it once too often. That's what they told me. And one of the things about great whites, you don't ever supposed to swim where great whites are and seals are. Yeah, especially in a wetsuit. Because great whites eat seals. And when you're in a wetsuit, what do you look like?
Yeah.
A seal. She needed somebody to rescue her real fast from that trial. Now God knows how to rescue us from trials. Out of trials, and that word, He uses the word heuriste, and that's present infinity middle. For Himself, He knows how to get us out of the trials. He could have reached down out of heaven and pulled her right out of the jaws of that great white shark. He reached down from heaven and pulled Lot and his family right out of the jaws of hell there in Sodom and Gomorrah, because He was going to burn that place down. They were in the wrong place. How to rescue for Himself and unjust men unto a day of judgment to keep for them to be punished. That's what it means. God knows how to rescue the righteous, and He also knows how to lock up the ungodly buzzards. There are some real wicked people in this world, people. You probably met some today on the freeway when you're on the way here. Real bad people. Shaking their fists at you and cussing you and everything. You didn't do anything except just budge over a little bit too far or something, you know. I mean, they thought it was. Maybe you were in their way. Or whatever. Or maybe you went in line. How many of you have ever been going to the grocery store and getting the line and people shove you out of the way and just jump up in front of you? All you have to do is go to Bishop, California. Now, the local residents up in Bishop don't do that, but these people from L.A. that go to the Bishop to go skiing up there, when they come to town, watch out. You can't get a place to put gas in your car. You can't even get in the line in the grocery store. They'll be elbowing you and punching you out of the way. They're in a hurry. They want to get up there to the floor. Yes, brother.
Jim, those of you who are coming right along with what you're talking about, God standing up, that very next scripture, Hebrews 11:4 5 is where God snatched him.
Go ahead and read that, brother. That's a good verse.
By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Mm-hmm. He was not found because God had taken him.
That's right. He snatched up out of the way. The word rapture comes from this word. The word raptor comes from this word. You know what a raptor is? What is a raptor? It's not one of them things in the movies now, by the way. I mean, there's a raptor, you know, that they, what do you call that thing? Jurassic Park and all that kind of stuff. They've got some raptors in there. But there's a word raptor that's much more commonly used in our language. It comes from rapere in Latin. Okay? It means to snatch up and out of the way, to rescue, or to capture. A raptor is a bird of prey. By the way, did you know that a vulture is not a raptor? A vulture has no way to grab its prey. It just gets out there and eats it on the ground. It's got feet like a turkey or a chicken. A raptor has claws that they can snatch up to, like an owl or a hawk. Or an eagle. That's a raptor. The word raptor comes from that Latin word rapere, which, and when it really gets down to the etymology, it means to leave the marks of the raptor. Something that is grabbed by the talons of the raptor. Okay? And God used that word to show us how that He is going to snatch us up out of this world one of these days, and shows us how He snatched two people up. One of them went up in a chariot of fire, and the other one says he was snatched up by God so that he wouldn't see death. And of course, Elijah and Enoch, neither one of them saw death. He raptured them, took them up into heaven. And He tells us again here at the end of the church age, there's going to be a rapture. One of these days, if you are not saved, you don't... One will be taken. Boy, that's going to be a sad day, you know that. I tell you what, when the flood came and Noah was in the ark, that was a sad day for everybody on the outside. Mm-hmm. When you're taken up by God, it's a glorious day. Let's go on just one more verse here tonight. 2 and verse 10, A and B. Malisa.
Day.
Kuz. Opiso.
Opiso.
Sarkos.
In.
Epithemia.
Epithemia.
Miasmo.
Miasmo.
Haru Menois. Menus.
Haru
Kai. Kriotakins. Kata pro neontes. To tolmete. Althades. Doxos. U. Tre. Musen. Blasphemontes. There are some hard words to say in here. We may have to come back and look at this a little bit more. Now, Peter is turning his attention from the rats back then to the libertines and heretics of his day. Remember, what is those that studied the book of the Jews with me, what did I entitle that book? The Acts of the Apostates. Now, Peter starts in about the acts or the behavior of the apostates, the ones that have stood away from the truth. He said, but weak adverse in conjunction, that word day, but, and then malisa, chiefly, or foremost, or most of all, the ones. Now that word tus up there describes, that definite article describes the word way down in this verse called paroumenous. Paroumenous. And it says, and the ones going after flesh. The word opiso there, that means to follow. How many of you have ever watched an ant follow a track? Indians do weird things. You know, we're out tracking things all the time. You can go out in your backyard on fence posts, on a screen, or you can go on a piece of glass or on the side of a house. And the ants are going up and down this trail. They're following scent. They're following after one another. And you go in there and just wipe out that scent right there. And they'll come to that area. Nothing's there. But they'll go, follow the directions. Go out there on the ground where they're following a scent trail and just go like that. And they'll come up to that and they'll go, lost the track. Or a dog. There was a movie one time called Cool Hand Luke. That's an old movie. Mm-hmm. I remember when I went to the show, Margaret, with you to watch Cool Hand Luke. We were out in Edison Theater on the Edison Drive-In, and we had a couple of pickups out there backed up, and we were sitting in the back of the pickups and watching this movie, Cool Hand Luke. Well, Cool Hand Luke escaped from jail. Actually, a work farm. And the dogs don't always get after him. He ran the dogs to death one time. One time they got out there and he'd go down the water and he'd do everything else in the world and jump fences back and forth and just tangle the dogs up. One time he went to this old town where an old service station was and a little black boy came out and he says, "You got any pepper and spices and all kinds of stuff?" He said, "Go get it, boy. You want to see something funny?" He went out there and right where he was, he started putting black powder and pepper and chili and everything else out there. The dog came up there and sniffed all this stuff up, and boy, I mean to tell you, messed him up. It says, most of all, with these lawless rats that live among us, he said, they're always going after, that's accusative, plural, masculine, present, participle, and middle, for themselves are always going after flesh. Fleshly things. These are earthlings. And then it says, in the epithumia. Now, in is the Greek, same word as the Greek English word in, the English preposition in. And then we have epithumia. What in the world does epithumia mean? We get a word, thermos, from this. Epithumia. What in the world is that? Do you know what that word is, Brother Ken?
How is the epi on the epi? Upon?
Epi means upon. And it means to keep your mind upon something. To hold it right there. What does the thermos do? It heats things up, keeps heat in there in a bottle, or it keeps cold things colder, and the idea is the heat. Keep hot, hot. Keep it hot. Well, he says, these fleshly people hold upon their minds, they lust in their minds. What? Miasmu. They hold upon their minds defilement. Trash. They're thinking trash all the time. And they're going after the trash. And then it says, Kai, Kriotekos. It said, despising that kata prononthes, that means looking down upon, thinking down upon. And it says the word kriotekos means lordship or dominion. And so many times it talks about Christ as being the ruler of the world. When I was leaving to come over here tonight, I've been in a lot of pain lately. I had to psych myself up and I said, well, you know, I told my wife, well, I'm going to go do the King's work. I said, how would you like, you know, anybody would like to go to be the president's right-hand man? Well, I said, I'm going to be the Lord's right-hand man tonight. I'm going to go teach His word. I'm going to the King of the universe and I'm going to preach for Him. I'm going to speak for Him tonight. And His word, that's something good. You know why? Because I realize that He's the King of the earth. There's a whole lot of people out there that will not acknowledge God as Lord, King, or even God. That's an absolute fact. And it says here that Peter, back in his days, that there were people that they would not acknowledge authority whatsoever. It says that they were tol mete. It means that word means defiant, daring. They like robbers. You know, at one time, robberies took place at nighttime so people could hide. When you go into a bar, people do things in bars that aren't quite right. And so bars call for dim lights. Okay? Now these are violent men. And by the way, this is the only place it's used in the New Testament. Peter is still, you know, he's not the big dumb fisherman that people says he was. He's using some very rare and intelligent terms. He said they are difficult daylight robbers. These are violent robbers. Violent men. These are outlaws that are not afraid. They don't respect any authority and they do not respect God. And then it says the word authades. This word comes from autos and hedemai. We get some English words out of this. Hedonism. Hedonistic. These are the words. This means to live for yourself. There was a woman that did a lot of writing. Her name was Anne Rand. And she justified anything. She said that, you know, if you've got a husband and three children, and you're all starving to death, the thing to do is to kill them and eat the food, because you're surviving yourself. The thing about to do is to eat the food and let them starve to death, because you're the most important thing. You have to have an ego. You have to keep yourself alive, because woman, she said, you can make more children. You can make more children. So you justify your terrible actions because you are the matriarch. It says, daring, outlaws, self-willed, self-satisfying, narcissist. That's the word too. Narcissist. And then it says glories. Look at that word, doxos. That means powerful, beings. It says they don't tremble before powerful dignitaries. It means archangels in places. They don't tremble when they come up to these powerful beings. Think about that. Back in the book of Jude, it tells us that Michael the archangel is very respectful of Satan. Did you know that? He doesn't bring any direct charges against Satan at all. What does he say to Satan? The Lord rebukes you. I don't know it, but the Lord rebukes you. Why does he say the Lord rebukes you, Satan? Because Satan is a supernatural being. You know, God's children, sometimes we waller right out there with Satan and expect to come out clean and to be all right. Not going to happen. You are wallowing in the world. That's what... Remember, who was the example we had tonight? Lot. God had to snatch Lot out of that. He didn't want to leave. But the world that we live in makes up all these things. It says they don't tremble before angelic magistrates, archangels. Every time you see a war going on earth, there's a spiritual war going on in heaven. Did you know that? There's angelic warfare going on. We find that from the book of Daniel and the book of Ezekiel and different places, and also the book of Revelation. We see all these powerful beings. There's an earthly army and there's a heavenly army or a spiritual army. These spiritual armies are violent. Violent. I don't know and I don't understand everything about angels and spirits that there is in the Bible. All I can do is tell you what I've read. Try to explain a little bit about it. But angels, God's angels, those that follow God, respect. And those that do not follow God have no fear. And it also says in the Word of God, fear is the beginning of what? Yeah. Wisdom and knowledge. We need to respect God. We need to respect what's God's. We need to respect everything that God puts on this earth. If we have anything in this world, it's because God gave it to you. Well, I earned it. No, you didn't. God gave you the ability to work, and He earned it for you because He gave you the power to do it. God gives you everything that you have. And besides that, it's not yours. You're not going to take it with you. What are you going to leave behind? Everything. Next week, we're going to start at 2 and verse 11. Thank you for your attention. I hope you learned something from God's Word. I hope you learned some grammar and Greek and a whole lot of Bible. The Bible part of it is the most important thing. I hope to teach you Greek. I'll tell you one thing. And I've told this to my students and promised it to my students. If you will come to this class for 3 years and you listen to me teach you and read to me with me as I read these Greek words, that in 3 years that you'll be able to take up a Greek interlinear and you'll be able to look up any word in there and you'll be able to be fluent in Greek as far as Bible study goes. I promise you that. You pay attention and you will be able to do it. You will know enough Greek to where you'll be able to look it up in your lexicon. And you won't know how you did it either. All of a sudden, it's going to dawn on you one of these days. Well, my brother,
that is true.
I put in writing even on my classes. And anybody that has done that, they will learn these things. Same thing as I'm teaching Hebrew all the time too, and I try to rub off some of this Hebrew on you. Thank you for your attention tonight, brother. Would you dismiss us in prayer tonight, please?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so happy that we're able to come here tonight in peace and worship You. We thank Jim for spending his time giving Your word of truth. And we ask, Father, that You comfort him in his pain. Father, we're so thankful for everything that You give us. And we ask that You forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.